Listen carefully. You might hear hoofbeats.
And listen, what we're seeing today is a rise in false claims of being anointed in the name of Christ. We're hearing wars and rumors of wars, international ethnic tensions all around us. Famine and pestilence are raging. Geological and weather anomalies are abounding. And we're hearing things today that tell us that the events that take place on earth during the ride of the four horsemen of the apocalypse are not just possibly, but probably very near.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, radio for the remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today, Jan visits with special guest Pastor Barry Stagner, our guest for our one-night Understanding the Times event, October 5th. The prophet Daniel says in the last days, the wise will understand. We hope that includes all who are listening, since we are in turbulent times and without wisdom, we could never make it. Here is today's programming.
1 Thessalonians 5:9 says that God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, that's good news. God did not appoint us to wrath. And he tells us in 2 Thessalonians 2:7 and 8 that the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now, he who is taken out of the way is the Holy Spirit. Now, is the Holy Spirit God? Yes. Is God omnipresent? Yes. So he cannot be taken out of the world. But who are the temples of the Holy Spirit right now? We are. So who has to be taken out of the way? We do. And then and only then can the lawless one be revealed, which, by the way, is the first thing that happens in the tribulation. The lawless one is revealed. So we have to be gone before the first thing in the tribulation can happen. We're not going to be here until the midpoint of the tribulation. We're not going to be here until the undiluted wrath of God is poured out in the bowl judgments. We're going to be out of here before any of it starts.
So glad you can join me for the hour today. We have an upcoming Understanding the Times one-night event, Thursday, October the 5th, here in Minneapolis, and we do live stream these events to the whole world. Our guest that evening will be Pastor Barry Stagner, my guest for the hour, and I'll say more about this event in a moment as we move through the hour. Of course, it's a free event in the suburb of Minneapolis. Barry Stagner says we are in the time of the signs, and that would be signs for Christ's return. These herald of his coming signs are daily, frankly, they're even hourly. And many of us who emphasize this cannot keep up with all that is happening that is of a biblical relevance and prophetic relevance. As my guest says, we can almost hear the hoofbeats of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, although believers are not going to be here for the four horsemen. I heard one of the updates he gave, and he talked about Christians trying to name apocalyptic players because many today insist that King Charles is the Antichrist. Now, that's problematic, and we're going to explain why here in a few minutes. Should we even be speculating about things like this? I'm going to play a number of sound bites this hour. By the way, the endless assault on the pre-tribulation rapture of the church and the never-ending suggestion that this doctrine only came along in the 1830s by a man named John Nelson Darby. That is so off base, folks. I'm close to calling it strong delusion. I really am. There are so many verses that talk about the righteous being spared the wrath to come, and you just heard one with my opening clip of 1 Thessalonians 5:9. Now, some of you watch Pastor Barry Stagner's online prophecy update weekly. The lineup encourage you to do that for weekly current event updates. You find that on YouTube for sure. He heads Calvary Chapel Tustin, now called Calvary Central Orange County. I have ministered with him on numerous occasions, twice in 2019, once in 2020, 2021, as we both participated in 2021 at Jack Hibbs Conference, Behold, He Comes. That was along with the Mir Sarfati, Jack, and Michelle Bachman. Pastor Barry Stagner, welcome back to Understanding the Times Radio.
Thank you, Jan. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
you have been traveling a lot, and most recently you were in both New Zealand and Australia, and I have listeners down there, lots of them. My question to you is, because those are tuned-in people, what are they talking about? Are they encouraged? Are they discouraged about our darkening times? Give me a sentence or two on what you encountered in New Zealand and Australia.
It's interesting because we all know the same Lord, and we all have the same burdens on our heart, and that is the moral slide that our world is in, the governmental control elements that are being forced upon us in any portion of the world. These guys in New Zealand and Australia went through some heavy, heavy times during the COVID deal. Everybody has the same particular shared burden for the world. And that was one of the things that we really saw and heard. And the comments, doesn't matter where Amir and I go, the comments are always the same, that nobody around here is teaching Bible prophecy. So the events were well attended. And we met so many wonderful people, both in Auckland and the three places we were at in Australia. One of the things, I actually mentioned this in one of the messages I was able to give, and that is, as we travel, we see a lot of different worship expressions, and people do church, if I can use that phrase, differently in different parts of the world. But the one common thing that we face, no matter how our church service may be conducted, is that the message doesn't change no matter where you are and no matter what's going on in the world. We have to stick to that implanted word that is able to save our souls. The places that are being faithful to them, God is blessing. And one particular church in Melbourne grew exponentially during the lockdown and continues to see growth because they were, if I can use the word, exposed as a Bible teaching church. People are hungry for the uncompromised teaching of the Word of God.
I think they may have set a new definition for the term lockdown at home or lockdown wherever they happen to be. You gave me some illustrations, and I'm not quite sure of the intensity and passion of what they've done to the people in New Zealand and Australia, but my goodness, that was quite frightening what you described to me.
The gentleman from the church that was driving us while we were in Australia, we were passing by two, I'm going to guess they were at least 20-story apartment buildings, and he said that they chained the doors and locked people in and posted guards, and you could not leave when COVID first hit. So they saw an expression of lockdown that we didn't see here in the States, borderline martial law type of thing, where the government just took over normal day-to-day lives of the people. They saw probably a better glimpse of what the tribulation is going to be like than the rest of us.
You have an intriguing update online. You can find those folks on YouTube, The Truth About God, and this one is a few months old now, but it's still very relevant. Matter of fact, I want to go here for just a minute, Barry, and that is, you talked about the possibility, well, you're hearing, as I'm hearing from a lot of people, and I hear from them weekly, trying to name the Antichrist, trying to name apocalyptic figures, let's put it that way. And by the way, that's very tempting to do. There are several candidates out there for both Antichrist and false prophet. I maintain this is an exercise in futility. The believers aren't going to be here to know who they are anyway. Maybe in heaven we'll be tipped off, who knows. But one that's popular right now that you addressed, and I'm just going to take an extra few minutes here early on in our programming to address the fact that, could King Charles play that apocalyptic figure of Antichrist? I'm just going to play a very quick soundbite because I have to give the man who's done the most research on this, Jim Cohen, his book, Antichrist and a Cup of Tea. And here in this clip, he's talking about a statue of a winged god with the inscription of Savior of the World. And he's going to apply that, of course, to King Charles and why he is convinced beyond any shadow of doubt. And then when we come back, I want to unpack this as to why we disagree.
Talk a little bit about the extraordinary statue that has been created for Prince Charles.
Sure. So we have something that came out years, actually, after the first edition of the Antichrist and a Cup of Tea. The book was published in 1998. I began it in 1987 while I was still at the Academy. In that period of time and before that time, Prince Charles was already the number one globalist in the world. A lot of people have no idea that that was ever true of Prince Charles, let alone that it still is to this day. So I document that in the Antichrist and a Cup of Tea, both the original edition and then the upcoming edition with new examples up through the present day. To this day, Behind the scenes, there is no globalist like him on the planet. He is the number one globalist in the world. And that has included the environmental arena, which has shaken the entire world, virtually his entire adult life since he was invested as Prince of Wales. And that relates to the statue, to your question. Prince Charles, more so than Al Gore, has been preeminent in the multinational, international environmental movement. Al Gore actually credited Prince Charles personally for the success of the Rio Earth Summit, which led to the very first international treaty dealing with the issue of so-called human-caused global warming. And Gore credited Prince Charles because Prince Charles orchestrated, organized aboard the Royal Yacht Britannia, the meetings between the key participants that led to the Rio Earth Summit's success. Prince Charles orchestrated and personally chaired the meetings aboard the Britannia, and that included Al Gore, Brazil's president, other key players to what became the treaty following the Rio Earth Summit. Years later, more than a decade later, they wanted to honor out that this statue can be found by Googling a phrase like Prince Charles, winged God, statue. And the press, when it reported on that statue, likened to Prince Charles himself to a winged God in the sense of like Satan wanting to be the God of this world. The statue has the inscription Savior of the World on it. So you can also pull it up by Googling something like Prince Charles statue Savior of the World.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have on the line from California, Pastor Barry Stagner, cctustin.org, if you want to ask him any questions. And he will be my guest, along with Pastor Mark Henry, Thursday, October 5th, coming up here, Revive Church in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, 7 to 9 p.m. Central Time, live stream at markhenryministries.com, markhenryministries.com. You can watch it post-program at olivetreeviews.org and go to video. olivetreeviews.org and go to video. No cost, plenty of seating. We hope you'll attend either in person or online. So Pastor Barry Stagner, you addressed this in your update, and I just want to cover a couple of points here and have you expound a little bit. I believe, and so do you, that the Antichrist is going to rise from obscurity. That's Daniel 7:8. He's called the Little Horn. He may not even be a political leader. He very well may not be on the scene in a knowledgeable forefront way right now.
Jan, I think one of the things that is sadly often overlooked is we have a typology of the Antichrist in the Old Testament, where the one in history who fulfilled that role and instituted an abomination of desolation, not the abomination of desolation, but that is Antiochus Epiphanes in the 2nd century BC. He was not within the royal line to ascend to the throne. He rose from obscurity. So we have a type or a picture of the Antichrist in the Old Testament that he does just that. This man who is going to rise to power, this lawless one, this son of perdition, is going to come out of nowhere. He isn't going to be a member of the World Economic Forum. As a matter of fact, one of the things I like to throw out there is that Soros and Gates and the rest, Klaus Schwab and all that, have a very unpleasant surprise coming their way when this guy takes over, because he's going to be the one who's running the show. Daniel 17 even talks about the fact that those who are in power during the tribulation have received no kingdom as of yet. They are not current kings. They are not current political leaders. They're going to rise up from nowhere. As a matter of fact, one of the most disqualifying elements of King Charles is that if he is the Antichrist, then we all miss the rapture.
But we have to acknowledge Charles can have 10 to 15 years ahead of him yet. But granted, the church is still here. Believers are still here. The rapture hasn't happened yet. So I'm agreeing with you, but suggesting that the king now could be around a while.
As you played at the outset, the mystery of lawlessness is already at work, and he's certainly on that team. And all the things we're seeing coming about through the World Economic Forum are greasing the skids for the Antichrist. And the Antichrist is going to be authoritarian in nature. He is going to be a very dominant personality. He's also going to, as Daniel chapter 11 says, deceive the world through intrigue. And the Hebrew word translated as intrigue, it means flattery or slippery speech. So he's going to be eloquent. He's going to be a well-spoken man who comes with that silver tongue and says the things that the world wants to hear. And I think many churches and secular outlets around the world have quoted the World Economic Forum statement that you will own nothing and be happy. that's already not being well received because it's a contrary concept to the individualism that we enjoy and countries around the world employ in their system of governance. There's so many things that disqualify him. He is already a global figure, and the fact that he is well known within the rank and file of advancing the climate change agenda, all these things tell us that it's not possible that he is going to be the Antichrist. As you mentioned, there's been lots of candidates. One of my favorites was President Reagan. The reason that he was thought to be potential candidate for the Antichrist was because all three of his names had six letters.
Yeah.
Ronald Wilson Reagan, 666. And this is pretty close to that as far as credibility. It's just about that deep. He cannot be the Antichrist because we have to be taken out of the way
exactly before
the Antichrist is even revealed. We can't know. Nobody else can know. So the fact that he is promoted as a candidate shows that he actually isn't.
I'm going to move on from that, but I'm playing off the fact that I hear weekly from people who have figured this out. The other thing is the Antichrist is going to be globally worshipped. And I think King Charles has got a bit of a bad reputation. He certainly didn't treat his first wife very properly. He's known to be very mean-spirited. Now, can the real Antichrist have these qualities, of course? But it's going to be hard to universally love someone that is at the root not a very nice person. I'm moving on, and I just want to deal with a few rapture issues here while we have time. I think I heard you say that millions after the rapture will know they have missed it. And folks, think about that for just a moment, because you're going to leave some folks behind, maybe family members, friends, co-workers, neighbors, and you've talked to them endlessly about the Lord's return first in the rapture of the church, followed 7 years later by the second coming. And they've rejected everything you've said. They've probably rejected you as well. But there's coming a time when so many are going to come to faith during that seven-year time of Jacob's trouble, Daniel's 70th week. Let's play this clip, and then I want to come back and discuss it for just a few minutes.
The rapture is going to take people home, and it's going to leave people home alone. It's going to end the worries of some and increase the worries of others. It's going to lead to mass corruption and confusion, economic chaos on the planet. Properties and bank accounts and cars and goods will be left behind by those who have been raptured. And the rider on the white horse is going to conquer the world with this plan that brings a pseudo peace for a while. But it can't last. The exemption from rage is only temporary. And the rage in people will have been held in check for a time. Millions after the rapture are going to realize they missed it. And they'll know what has happened. They will come to faith in Christ. Others are going to hate God because of what happened. And in Revelation 13, 5 through 8, we're told he, again, the beast, the Antichrist, as we call him, was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for how long? 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. And it was granted to him to make war with who? The saints, and to overcome them. This is not the church. Amen.
Amen?
Saints is not a term exclusive to the church. There are Old Testament saints, there's church age saints, there's tribulation saints, and there's millennial saints. And as J. Vernon McGee used to say, there's two kinds of people on the earth. There's saints and there's ain'ts. These saints are not the church, and the use of the term does not demand it be the church. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will what? Worship him. Remember, worship means to prostrate and submit. All in the earth is going to bow before and submit to the dragon. They'll worship him. And here's a qualification point. Whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And after this brief time of peace, the man of sin is going to say to a God-hating, Christ-rejecting world, you know who caused all these problems we're having right now? The Christians. The Christians caused all this. They're the ones who left spouses behind. They're the ones who left bills unpaid. I'm good with that. How about you? They are the ones that left behind this mess, and now there's more of them. And they're from every tribe, tongue, nation, and people.
So, Barry Stagner, there's going to be a revival in the tribulation seven-year Daniel 70th week. What about a revival before the tribulation? We've got some things going on in some colleges right now. Asbury some months ago, Auburn right now. Modern day outpourings, let's limit it to that. Modern day outpourings among younger people, they seem very genuine. People are criticizing it. I say, well, let's let it play out. And these folks go on to live victorious lives. That revival was very real.
Absolutely, Jan. I think that's wisdom to let things run their course as far as what is happening in these places. And the key is what you mentioned, that this is revival. It's interesting that the English word revival only appears one time in the Bible, and that's in the book of Ezra, where the word of God had been rediscovered and read to the people, and the people were brokenhearted. And he prayed for the Lord to give the people a measure of revival. And the word revival there means to renew the validity. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing young people who maybe have bought into the pizza and party thing as high schoolers or junior hires, who are now getting back to the valid work and word of God. And that's what we're seeing there. What they're going to see during the tribulation is a great awakening, dead people being made alive. And there's a difference between a revival and a great awakening. A revival is a return to what is valid, and a great awakening is those spiritually dead being made alive in Christ. And that numberless multitude is going to be global in scope, from every tribe, tongue, nation, and people. And many of them are going to have heard the Christian message and not responded to it. And there is a distinction. Some like to make the argument of what Paul talked about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that they'll fall for the unrighteous deception because they did not receive the love of the truth in order to be saved. And that basically implies that there's going to be people who hear the gospel message, reject it as false or foolishness, and that will be their final decision. They would not receive the love of the truth. But there, I think we have to recognize that for most of us, we didn't respond to the gospel the first time we heard it, because most likely we heard a portion of it. And that's why we're presented as in the process of seeing people come to faith. One plants, another waters, and someone else harvests that planted and watered gospel seed. So the Bible presents a progression in moving people towards salvation as God draws them to himself. And that's going to continue after the church is taken out of the way. As a matter of fact, that's going to give validity to the church's truth claims about Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by him. Yeah, there's going to be a huge, I like to put it as the greatest great awakening in the history of mankind is going to happen after the church is gone.
And it will be spurred on heavily by the 144,000 Jewish evangelists, which is why that time of Jacob's trouble is so Jewish-focused and Jewish-oriented. It's not so much Gentiles leading that happening. It's Jewish unbelievers becoming believers and turning into the greatest evangelists man has ever known.
Well, we have 144,000 Jewish, I like to use the wordplay, Bernie Grahams, who are out there preaching the gospel. And then we've got two witnesses who have Old Testament prophet-like powers and ministries. And then you add to that an angel flying in the mid-heaven preaching the everlasting gospel. That's what I believe is going to fulfill Jesus' statement that the gospel will be preached to the whole world and then the end will come. And that's going to happen, I think, through the angel flying in the high point of the sky preaching the gospel on a global scale. And then things are going to wrap up. And the Lord's going to come back.
Hope you will join us. That would be Thursday evening, October the 5th. Barry Stagner will be our guest at our almost every other month Understanding the Times events here in the suburb of Minneapolis, Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. Revived Church Pastor Mark Henry and yours truly are the co-hosts. 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time. You can live stream it. MarkHenryMinistries.com. MarkHenryMinistries.com. There's no cost. No reservation. We just want you to come out and enjoy an evening of discussion, Q&A. We will look at a lot of current event issues going on, eschatology. The address is 7849 West Broadway, Brooklyn Park. And again, if you can't be a part of anything that night, it's all available. Post-program, allow a day or two. And we've got 2 years of these mini conferences posted for you at olivetreeviews.org and go to video. olivetreeviews.org and go to video. And Barry Stagner travels extensively with Amir Sarfati. They just came back 10 days ago from New Zealand and Australia. Where we're going in part two of my programming is I want to look just a little bit more, and I'm going to use the word attack on the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And maybe that's a bit of a strong word. It's a theological difference. It certainly doesn't matter when it comes to eternity. But I think that robbing those of us who believe in that pre-tribulation rapture, robbing us of our blessed hope, that's what the Bible calls it in Titus, I think that those who are attacking it, or let's just use the word challenging it, they don't make the best case for it, and I'm going to bring that out when we get back. Also, we'll look at some of the signs of the times. Barry Stagner has a book coming out. It will be in January of next year called The Time of the Signs. So we like to look at some of the things that are going on, and some of them are leaping out of the Bible. At least they're foreshadowed in the Bible, and they're beginning to happen now. And we are the first to acknowledge that a lot of the signs of the times apply to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, more so than the rapture, which is basically a signless event. But nonetheless, we see the shadows of the second coming now. How much closer would the rapture of the church be? I'm back in just a minute or two. Don't go away. Continuing on, you can reach my guest at cctustin.org, calvarychapeltustin.org, now called Calvary Central, Orange County. Back in a minute.
We hope you'll stay in touch with us online through olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Write us through the mail at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. In the age of fake news and false teaching, thank you for trusting Olive Tree Ministries and Understanding the Times Radio. We have enjoyed bringing our current events update, a one-night Understanding the Times event, to millions either in person or online for over 2 years. Try to join us Thursday, October 5th, 7 p.m. Central Daylight Time, just outside of Minneapolis, Minnesota. We will feature Pastor Barry Stagner, Calvary Chapel, Tustin, California. There is no cost and no reservation is needed. Our program features panel discussion, Q&A, and news and views for our times. Attend in person at Revive Church, Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, or live stream at markhenryministries.com. That's markhenryministries.com. You can watch post-program at olivetreeviews.org, then to video. That's olivetreeviews.org, then to video. That's Thursday, October 5th, 7 to 9 p.m. Central Daylight Time, just outside of Minneapolis. Get all details at olivetreeviews.org and then to events. We'll hope to meet you then.
We've all had cataclysmic events. We've all had tribulation. We've all gone through those things, but those things were not God's wrath. And there's a distinction as well between God's wrath and his discipline. Those whom he loves, he disciplines. He scourges every son that he receives. But he does not send us in to be victims of his own wrath. He disciplines us because he loves us.
We know you can't always be by a radio. So if you miss a program, visit our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. And then go to radio, where we feature both the audio and video version of our program. You can also catch the program at oneplace.com, on our Rumble or YouTube channel, and on his channel, Christian TV. Now, here are Jan Markell and Pastor Barry Stagner to wrap up today's program.
And listen, can you hear the sound of the horsemen?
Yes.
A couple of things to remember. The sovereignty of God is alluded to in that it was granted to this rider to take peace from the earth. And secondly, the consequences, the depravity of man at its worst. And this too is the consequential wrath of God, letting man do his own thing. And mankind is reaping what they have sown. And here's the sound of the horseman I think we can identify today. Listen this morning, the majority of the world already supports murder as a means to protect their lifestyle. The majority of the world already supports murder as a means to protect their lifestyle. So it's going to be nothing new during the tribulation. That type of mindset is already here. And it's true about the most innocent of society, as we mentioned a moment ago. And Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 2:9-12, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan. So wouldn't you expect things that happen to be evil? Okay, I'm not giving you that answer. Come on now. With all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not, not that they could not, they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. I believe this means those who have finalized their decision about the information they've received concerning Jesus Christ, and they will never accept them. God's going to send them strong delusion. And I do believe that that delusion is happening right now, because the stuff people are protecting and proclaiming just doesn't make sense. It's outside of sound reason. It is delusion. That they may all be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in what? Unrighteousness. Now there are only, listen close now, there are only two reasons to believe that anything other than a human child is inside a mother's womb. And those two reasons are mental incompetence and spiritual delusion. And I think the latter of the two is happening all around the world, even on this particular matter. I mean, think about what we set up earlier in blaming Christians for all that the left behind people are having to endure. If you're already willing to kill those who've done nothing to you, then you won't have to travel far in your thinking to kill those who you believe harmed you and those who align themselves with them. Can you hear the hoofbeats of the four riders today? It's happening.
Yep, we can hear the hoofbeats of the four horsemen today. Just a quick heads up here. I hadn't planned on saying this, but today I've discovered dozens and dozens more counterfeit YouTubes from Understanding the Times Radio and people impersonating others on, frankly, every platform, but YouTube is certainly far worse. We have so many videos of ours, and they're all phony folks, and you're listening to them, and you are so confused. Can't say I blame you. Would you look for the number of subscribers? If you see 200,000 subscribers, approximately, that's the Olive Tree Understanding the Times YouTube channel. And you can also see the video version of our program. If you just want to dump YouTube, which I'm ready to do, go to our website. Just go to radio, and then you'll see years of programming video version on our website, olivetreeviews.org. You can find it on his channel, Christian Television, Light Source, Rumble. If you're on YouTube, be very, very careful. Hundreds stolen, mimicking us, sometime altering content, always trying to get your money, so be careful. All right, I'm moving on. My guest, Pastor Barry Stagner, pastors Calvary Central Orange County, formerly known as Calvary Chapel Tustin, California, cctustin.org. Our guests on Thursday, October the 5th, right outside of Minneapolis, 7 to 9 Central. Now, I want to go in a couple of areas in the time that we have left. I think one of the things, Pastor Barry Stagner, that troubles me the most, and I know it does you too, and I've shared so many platforms with you, and we talk about this on some of those platforms and in the Q&A, and that is the number of people challenging the pre-trib rapture of the church. I maintain the Bible is so clear about this, and as you have pointed out, the church is not a part of the first 69 weeks of Daniel. Why would they be a part of the 70th week of Daniel? The tribulation is for the salvation of the Jewish nation, and millions after the rapture are going to know they missed it. And as we already said in part one of our program, a tremendous great awakening will happen in the tribulation period. Your comment, please, and then I want to play a clip to back us up here.
Jan, I think you made an important point. I think sometimes the simplest arguments are the greatest arguments. And I package it in the format of, we weren't here for the first 69. Why would we be here for the 70th? These are weeks determined. And that word determined in the Hebrew can mean to mark out or set aside. These weeks are set aside for Daniel and the holy city. And that would be the Jews in Jerusalem. And this is the remaining unfulfilled week of the 70. It is specific to that end, as you mentioned, to bring the Jews to the point where they will finally look upon the one whom they pierced and mourn for him as one mourns for an only son, as Zechariah 12:10 says. So there are multiple reasons for us outside of that very clear but simple argument that we weren't here before for the previous 69. And I think some of the arguments about, well, the church needs to suffer and we need to fill up, as Colossians talks about, the suffering for the Lord. A lot of these theological misrepresentations are causing many to, I think, stray from what the Bible clearly teaches, as you said, regarding the pre-tribulation rapture. For me, and I always get some mail for this, but I think the pre-tribulation rapture is the only biblically defensible interpretation of the timing of the rapture of the church.
There's wrath, and then there's God's wrath. And that's what he's sparing us from, the wrath, God's wrath, to come. As we speak, man's wrath is exponential. Satan's wrath is out of control. We can just talk to some believers in various parts of the world, and we know that they are hated and they are literally being beaten up. But that is not God's wrath. Am I wrong there?
Absolutely not. That is man expressing his hatred for God and those who follow him. One of the things I think that is important in that clip made mention of it, but let me unpack that, if you will, a little bit further. God's wrath comes in two forms. There's the consequential wrath of God, the law of sowing and reaping, and then there's the cataclysmic wrath of God, or his wrath that is expressing his displeasure with the world that we see pictured for us all the way back in Egypt towards Sodom and Gomorrah, and now coming in the tribulation. But the Lord said about the wandering Jews that he swore in his wrath that they would not enter into his rest. And this is in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 11 and elsewhere. So God describes not allowing these people to enter into the promised land as a form of his wrath. And the thing I think that we need to highlight first and foremost is that what starts the tribulation period in the book of Revelation is the guy on the white horse, who is the Antichrist, who rides onto the scene and basically deceives the world through his smooth and slippery speech, and the whole world follows after him. So two things to consider. One, the removal of the church, which allows for the rise of the Antichrist to power. The rise of the Antichrist is an act of God's wrath. It is what opens the tribulation period. It's the consequential wrath of God. People want a leader. They're crying out for a leader. They want this egalitarianism to advance. Everybody has the same thing. And Jan, one of the things I think that is so curious that's happening of late is all the talk about UFOs. You and I, for a long time, have well thought about and talked about the potential responses in the world to the removal of the church. And now all of a sudden, everybody's talking about UFOs. And it's very likely, and I think most of us have presented this as a candidate in the time past for the explanation that aliens abducted all of these people and the cosmos is cleansing itself from the undesirables, and that those who were adversarial toward that global plan where we're all enjoying this peace that this leader is going to bring have now been taken out of the way, and now we can advance our agenda. So we're seeing all of these things happen in that birth pang like progression that Jesus talked about. And it's just very, very curious that all of this talk is popping up now.
Yeah.
It seems as though it's in preparation for the mass disappearance of hopefully over a billion people.
Well, I'm not quite ready to lay this current topic down, so I'm going to play a clip here. So Joel Richardson, and I know Joel. I appreciate Joel's heart for winning Muslims to faith. However, his theological stand on the timing of the rapture, some other things as well, but this in particular, is a little bit troubling. And by the way, in this clip, he pronounces Ed Heinsohn's name Hinson, but he's referring to Dr. Ed Heinsohn. Joel here is talking about the concept that Ed Heinsohn likely started the conversation about God would never beat up his bride, the church, before the rapture and taking her to heaven. So let's play this clip, and then Barry Stagner, I'm going to come back and discuss it for another moment or two. Then I'm moving on to some of the signs of the time.
In this week's session, we're going to go ahead and jump right into the incredibly commonly made argument, or really it's just a little cliche. It's an emotionally manipulative cliche that is often thrown out there by our pre-tribulational brothers and sisters. Not everyone, again, but it is very common, where they simply ask the question, why would God beat up and abuse his bride right before the wedding. So the idea is that we as the body of Christ are the bride of Christ. Again, we've addressed this in previous sessions. We'll touch on it a little bit more here today. But the idea is that we are the bride of Christ, and if the Lord allows us to suffer tribulation, that is the equivalent of him beating us up and abusing us right before the wedding. Now, I'm going to play a few clips here just in case you think I'm just making this up. You know, what's so strange is with a lot of these different sessions, I'll set forth very common arguments made by leading proponents of the pre-tribulational rapture that I'll see in the comment section on YouTube or on Twitter regularly. And then I'll do a session. People will be like, I've never heard anyone say that. That's ridiculous. That's a stupid argument. And I go, yeah, I know. I agree. It's a horrible argument, but it's a very, very commonly made argument. And this is probably one of the most common, as I said, arguments or just shallow cliches that's thrown out there. But I do want to just play a few clips here again from different leading voices within the pre-tribulational camp, just so to establish the fact that this is not something that I'm just making up or claiming is a common cliche. So the first one here is Dr. Tommy Ice. Of course, many watching this know who Dr. Tommy is. He is the president and the founder of the Pre-Tribulational Research Center. I actually debated Tommy a few years ago on the issue of the Antichrist, Roman or Middle Eastern Islamic. Again, he's a very highly respected leading proponent of the pre-tribulational rapture.
And right before the second coming, according to Revelation 19, the church will be married. So if the church were to go through any part of the tribulation, it'd be like Christ beating up his bride, then saying, hey, babe, let's get married, you know.
Okay, so you can see they're laughing and giggling, like that's ridiculous. Again, here's the inference, and please note this. If the Lord allows his church to go through the tribulation, that is the equivalent of him being a wife abuser. He is beating up his bride and he is abusing his wife. Okay, now I don't know where this cliche began, but I will say that the late Dr. Ed Hinson, he was the professor emeritus at Liberty, he used it a lot and he used it angrily, vehemently. He would put up pictures of a woman all beaten up with a black eye and be like, don't you try to tell me this is what God's going to do to his bride and this type of thing. But it was, he made this very common, this cliche very common. And I have a feeling that he may have been the one who originally popularized it. But here's a short clip of Dr. Hinson. He just passed away, actually, just I think about a year ago.
You don't turn around and beat up the bride of Christ in the tribulation period and then take her to the marriage. I don't think that symbolism works well at all.
Again, so you can see everyone sort of laughing and chuckling, like the very idea that the church would ever go through tribulation, that's laughable, again, because it equates to the Lord beating up his bride. Here's a short clip from Jan Markell, Olive Tree Ministries, very popular radio host, very, very adamant defender of the pre-tribulational rapture. She's doing a sort of panel Zoom discussion with Amir Sarfati. I always mispronounce his name and people get very upset. I don't ever intend to do that. As well as Barry Stagner, who is a very well-known name pastor in the Calvary Chapel movement.
Ed Hinson spoke at my conference in 2013, and he showed a picture in his PowerPoint of a bride totally beaten black and blue. Is Jesus Christ going to do that to his bride? Are you kidding me? Of course not. It was very graphic. Her face was totally black and blue from being beaten up. Jesus Christ would never do that to his bride, never, because we mean way too much to him.
Okay, so there it is. Like, the Lord would never allow his church to face tribulation and great persecution, because if he did, then that would be the equivalent of him beating up his bride. He cares about us way too much to ever do that. Now, we're going to jump into all of the logical, emotional, like the numerous myriads of problems with this. But already you can see the emotionally manipulative nature of this. You can see the accusatory nature of this. It's like, if you agree with this, then you have to accuse Jesus himself of being a disgusting, violent predator. That's really what it boils down to.
You are listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Jan Markell, I have on the line from Southern California, Pastor Barry Stagner. He is our guest on Thursday, October the 5th at Revived Church, Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, 7849 West Broadway. No charge, no reservation. 7 to 9 p.m. And Pastor Mark Henry and yours truly are the co-hosts for that evening. We will look at a lot of current event issues going on, eschatology. If you cannot join us that night at all, it is posted post-program to olivetreeviews.org and go to video, olivetreeviews.org and go to video. And it is posted to our Rumble channel. We may even put it on YouTube. Barry Stagner will be our guest that evening. No charge, no reservation needed. Barry Stagner, Joel Richardson, and that was whose audio was on that five-minute clip, suggested that what he was talking about and what I'm bringing up now is emotionally manipulative. I don't feel that's the case. It's just biblical.
It is, Jan. And one of the things I think that was happening there is his argument was an apple and our comments were an orange. He kept leaving out the word "the" when he was talking about tribulation, that God would not allow his church to go through tribulation. Well, there's a difference in tribulation in the sense of John 16:33, where Jesus said, in the world, you will have tribulation. You'll have anxiety. You'll have pressures. You'll have trials. You'll have the difficulties of life. You're going to have all those things. But those are the normal course of life for all humanity. And there's a difference between tribulation and the tribulation, because the tribulation is the wrath of God. And I think this is where his whole argument begins to break down immediately, because we're not saying that God won't allow hard times to come into the life of a Christian, and it would be wrong for him to allow Christians to be persecuted. My goodness, this past century was the deadliest century for Christians in the history of the church. And we understand that we are led as sheep to the slaughter, and Christians have been brutalized down through the centuries. We understand that, yet we don't see that as God's wrath. That's man's wrath. That is a hatred for God expressed toward God's followers. But the truth is, the tribulation period, and again, where I think his argument begins to break down, is Jesus is the one who opens the seals that releases God's wrath. So all that happens when he opens a seal and the guy on the white horse comes out and rises to power is a direct act of God's wrath on a Christ-rejecting world. And then when the next rider goes out, the rider on the red horse, who takes peace from the earth and causes men to kill one another, to butcher one another, is what the phrase actually means. This is the end result of Jesus having opened the seal. In other words, he is the one who is in control of releasing the wrath of God onto the world. And the same with the rider on the black horse, who causes enough grain for a loaf of bread, a single meal, for one person to rise to the inflationary cost of one meal for one person, costing a whole day's pay. All of these things are the end result of an action of Jesus Christ. All the other things that we go through in the world, Jesus said in that statement in John, in me you have peace, in the world you will have tribulation. He identifies these two things as being distinct from one another, and to basically take tribulation and point to God's wrath as being the same thing as an apple and an orange. We don't believe that God supernaturally protects us from all the difficulties of life. Goodness sakes, we all know better than that. We've all had cataclysmic events. We've all had tribulation. We've all gone through those things. But those things were not God's wrath. And there's a distinction as well between God's wrath and his discipline. Those whom he loves, he disciplines. He scourges every son that he receives. But he does not send us in to be victims of his own wrath. He disciplines us because he loves us. First of all, we do know that during the tribulation period that the saints will be overcome, which violates the promise of God that the gates of Hades will not prevail against the church. So flimsy argument at best, and theological error to be sure.
I'm moving on because you covered that so appropriately. I really have nothing to add to it. In interest of time here, you have a book coming out in January that would be on the time of the signs. And I'm just going to highlight a few of the prominent signs of the time here going on as we speak, and I just want your comment on some of them. Some of these issues just screaming at us, from central bank digital currency. We've got globalism rising. We've got lawlessness going on, which is staggering. Lawlessness has always happened, but to the degree it is today, where there's no shame, there's no fear of being punished, being sent to jail. We've got an America that is absolutely leaderless. And folks, when that happens, the whole world suffers. We've got terrible apostasy in the church. I've done many programs just on that. We've got the intensification of natural disasters. My goodness, the Bible says creation is groaning. I'm not sure it could groan much more, but it will in that tribulation time. What's going on today will be minuscule in comparison to what's going on in that tribulation time. I am not diminishing what people are going through today. And then, as you pointed out to me, Barry Stagner, with this culture decline, we've got some things going on in your home state of California and mine of Minnesota, which are just staggering as far as the loss of sound thinking. It's a stretch to wrap one's brain around what your legislature and the Minnesota legislature keeps coming up with. Just want to go hide somewhere to get away from these people. But of all these things I've just mentioned, and I just took 1 minute to do so, what jumps out to you the most? We're kind of on the time of the signs.
Jan, I think I'm going to have to make up a word to answer that question, and it's simultaneousness. That's probably the most stunning thing about all this, is that, to use the old adage, that this engine is firing on all cylinders. Everything is happening at the same time. And it's not simply that, you know, we've got an increase in earthquakes, or we've got an increase in weather anomalies, or we've got this or that. We have all the things you just mentioned happening. Lawlessness has come to a place where it's beyond unprecedented. It's unbelievable. And when, as you mentioned, in the state of California, if you don't affirm your child's gender choice, you can lose your child. A judge can decide to assign the child in a custody battle to the parent who will affirm a child's gender choice. And, you know, one of the things that's interesting, Jan, is, as you mentioned, the leaderless country that we're now in. This very thing is prophesied by Isaiah when he talks about a time when the Lord rises to shake the earth. He says in Isaiah chapter 3, verse 4, I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. Think about what we just talked about. You've got a child running the home, and a parent having to respond to a child's gender choice in order to keep possession of their child to raise them. You've got the spokesperson, Greta Thunberg, who is completely uneducated in the field that she represents, other than just her opinion and her anger. And she's the voice of educated people all over the world who should know better. And Isaiah also says that the people will be oppressed and the child will be insolent toward the elder. And that's exactly what's going on today. So, Jan, I just think watching all of these things, and there's been seasons of each of them that have happened in the past, but now we have Jews in Jerusalem, we have national Israel back on the world scene, and now we have every single element of what Jesus said are signs of his coming happening simultaneously and advancing exponentially.
Very well said, Barry Stagner. And they're growing in intensity and frequency, and even caught me off guard. Mr. Biden said at one of our recent natural, sadly, one of the catastrophes, I don't recall if it was Maui, it might have even been Florida, where he just came out and said, my goodness, all of these tragedies are growing, and he said, in frequency and intensity. He didn't know he was quoting the Bible. I'm sure he hasn't read that maybe ever. But point is, a lot of people are quoting the Bible. They may not know it, but the Bible is coming to life. And folks, we will talk more about that the evening of October the 5th here in Minneapolis. Access it online, markhenryministries.com. Post program, you can watch it at olivetreeviews.org and go to video. You can watch it on Rumble, hopefully on YouTube. Barry, I'm down to literally a minute or two. If you want to sum up, then I am out of time.
Jan, I think one of the things for us to hopefully take away that night, I've always thought it was curious that we know we're not going to be here for any of the tribulation, yet God gave us specific details, play by play, concerning what's going to happen during that time. We know where we'll be in the Father's house with the Lord, and we'll also stand at the judgment seat of Christ. But why does he want us to know so many specifics about that particular time period? And I hope that the takeaway from that night and any other gathering where we talk about Bible prophecy is that, one, that it comforts our hearts that we're not going to be here, And secondly, it breaks our hearts that so many will be. Hopefully spurs us to get out there and tell people about Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to the Father.
Folks, the takeaway from this hour is not to speculate on apocalyptic players. It's not to calculate dates for the end of the church age. It is to ask, if the hourglass is running towards empty, are you ready for what lies ahead? And the theme of the Bible is, now is the day of salvation. It says in the book of Romans that all who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. If you haven't done that, won't you do so today? Believers have a glorious future waiting for them. Barry Stagner and I have talked about that this hour, contrasting it to the terrible time of sorrow that's ahead for the unbelieving world. And again, that unbelieving world has unimaginable circumstances ahead for it, but the choice, quite frankly, is up to you. I pray you make the right choice while there is time, and I want to thank you for listening. We will talk to you again next week.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. You get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. Remember that nothing is out of control because God is always in control. He causes all things to work together for good, and our times are in His hand, but He orchestrates all to happen so that everything can fall into place.